Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, silly me, my day, for thinking that you'd stay. Gave you my heart and then you ran away.
Welcome to Relationship 204, the Table Talk Radio Show. Hey, guys, are you on the air?
Hey, it's Kina.
Hey. I know we're probably a few minutes late, guys. I do so apologize. But sometimes when you're doing a lot of different things at one time, you're trying to make them, just trying to make up. But I want to thank you guys for being tuned in to Relationship 204 on the Table Talk Radio Show. I have an interesting topic tonight, guys. I hope that you've actually seen it or seen the link before we actually get into it. If it's your first time listening, this is Relationship 204. We say 204 because 101 is just basic, and 204 sometimes can be a little bit complicated when we're talking about all ships, meaning relationships, friendships, marriage ships, mother, daughter, all of that. When we speak on Relationship 204, we're speaking on all ships. How are you guys today, tonight? I know I have Shakina and I think I have John on the line. Is that correct?
I'm here.
You're absolutely right. I'm here.
Absolutely. We may not, guys, we may not talk to each other most of the week, or sometimes me and Shakina would talk, you know, hit and miss here and there when we got a little something going on. But we all come together on this night, and I just want to thank my co-host that do, because that shows just a level of consistency and commitment to you guys. So I want to thank you guys for always being there and participating. So let's get right into it. I had a couple of letters. Actually, this was in the past. I just never got to them, and it had to deal with divorce. Many people can say, or some people on the line right now can say that they've been through a divorce, so they kind of have the experience of that. But the thing is, when divorce is an option, and I know us church folks, you know, we would say a divorce is not an option. But there are moments and times that we can say that divorce is an option, and it has been an option, and we executed that option, you know, in our lives. And my question would be, you know, when does it become an option? Because some people will be, as part of our second conversation, in a toxic relationship or a relationship undeciding if they should get out and not wanting divorce to be an option. Simply for the fact of either one, financial, or two, when there's kids that are involved. You know, us being transparent, I can say that the people who are on the line, we have experienced that, correct?
I'm divorced. I'm a divorcee.
I have a proud divorcee.
No, let me not say that.
So I gotta say, John, like when I know, right? I have to say, so when did it become a time, you know, and we talked about, even if we're talking about divorcee or even putting a relationship, you know, because we can put that in there too, because that can be just as detrimental as a divorce itself. When is it a time that we say, you know what, this is an option right now, you know, for me, because, you know, it's either it's either a difficult relationship, or we're being difficult people towards each other, or just being toxic, period.
I think sometimes divorce, and I'm going to get crucified for being a preacher of the gospel and saying this, sometimes divorce is not only the best option, but sometimes it is very necessary. I think for me and for many others I know, we stayed in toxic relationships and marriages because we just didn't want to walk around saying that we've been divorced. Divorce is a very difficult thing to deal with. Let me put it out there. Very, very difficult thing. If you're a human being like myself, everybody's not like me, but when you're emotionally invested, there is trauma that oftentimes come with it. But let me say this. When you stop being for that one individual, let me put the first thing out there. When you stop being for example, let's say I was married to a young lady. She stopped being for me. She became for everybody. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes any sense. When you stop being just for me and you out here for everybody.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot of sense. We got a problem. We got a major problem. Now, infidelity is very touchy because it's not always the same. You know, and I get the forgiveness thing, and I support it as believers. We should always forgive. But forgiveness does not mean that one should go back to the same, put themselves in the same position to be hurt again, one. And two, it does not always mean that you have to stay with that individual. There are continual cheaters. There are cheaters. We all hurt on different levels. You know, somebody having a one-night stand with somebody, I don't know, because they were upset with you. Either way, I don't deal with it. But let's say that versus, you know, a brother slept with your sister. You know, there's different degrees or an ongoing relationship that people hurt differently. But infidelity is certainly one. Abuse to me, when we're dealing with especially physical abuse, I definitely think it's time to get out. I've heard stories of individuals who were severely hurt, and I've heard of one case where someone died because their pastor, this is the pastor who told me the story, he had counseled her not to get out of this situation. Some cases, even emotional and verbal, is very toxic. I don't know if I would tell someone to divorce in that case, but certainly seek counsel. And I'm very pro-marriage, very anti-divorce. But there are things, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you're married to somebody and you're seeing them on Channel 7 News and they murdered 6 people, I don't know. You just, you know, you're married to someone who's touching your children. There are real-life issues out here. Touching your children? Little you who, you know, there's some real life issues that needs to be addressed. And in cases like that, extreme cases, it's not only just the best option. In some cases, divorce is very necessary, and you have to get out of that toxic marriage. That's my personal preference. Now, I'm not a preacher of the gospel. They're going to crucify me for this. You know, and I'm not pushing, you know, married couples come to me all the time. I'm so pro-married. People all the time, you always talking about work it out. I believe in working it out. You know, I married my first girlfriend. We were together 12 years. I would have stayed in the marriage if I could have. You understand? I think we all have that breaking point when you really just cannot anymore. I just took as much as I possibly can take. And we all have breaking points where you just can't do this anymore. It's not only toxic, but it's toxic for your children. You're not helping your kids by staying in the marriage. You know, that's something that I had to come to terms with. Them seeing mommy and daddy argue all the time is not beneficial to the children. all right? You're actually going to make them worse. It is better that they just see daddy and mommy don't even see each other. That's just my take on it.
You know, you're absolutely right, especially the part about the kids. You have a lot of people would say that, well, we stayed together because of the kids. At 5 and 6 years old, kids can tell the difference if there's love or affection. You know what I'm saying? With their parents, they know when you at odds or arguing. You may think that they don't know, or you may think that, you know, you're being quiet in the bedroom and so forth, but they can tell it by the tense conversations or by not speaking or about them choosing to be separate. You know, you go your way, I go your way. So I don't believe that thing when people say, well, we did it for the kids. No, because it's like you destroying the kids. You know how kids, when folks get, when they get grown, they get bitter with that. You know, y'all just arguing. Why y'all just didn't leave each other? You know, that would be the first
but
thing.
But you know
say,
what?
Why were you still together?
I'll be honest with you, and I was one for many years. I held that belief. I'm going to grind. I'll be honest with you. I had made up in my mind at one point, I'm miserable. I'm never going to smile. I'm never going to be happy, but I'm going to grind this out for my children. That was the mentality for many years. It may be because of our traditional beliefs, and I'm very pro marriage and very pro family, and I really wanted my children to be raised with both mommy and daddy. I had it. My parents, you know, are still together. Thank God. Hopefully they survive. And I just wanted that for my children. I see the psychological effects oftentimes of, you know, the struggles, let me put it that way, the struggles of being raised in a single-parent home. I didn't want that for my children, so we struggle with that. But it took me some time to come to terms with it really is not beneficial for our children. This is toxic. It's the worst thing you could do is to stay for your children because you'll be doing them more harm than you're actually doing them good. Shekinah,
quiet. That was a lot said, Shekinah. I know.
No. I'm just listening and enjoying the.
You're taking it all in.
I'm a divorce. Take it all in. I'm a divorcee too, you know. But you know, for me, the level of wisdom that I have now as a woman of God, and when I was married, it wasn't the same. So I was the type of woman when I was married before. I was able to say, oh, divorce is an option because I didn't have the knowledge of how a godly wife should be. He didn't know how a godly man should be, so it was an option. So when you don't have a kingdom mindset in regards to your relationship, divorce is an option. But when you have a kingdom mindset in your marriage, divorce shouldn't be an option. However, I do agree with the extremes of some things that you just like, I can't do. I'm not going to let anyone physically, verbally abuse me, and I just take that for my life. But what I will say, I'm not going to say I'll divorce you. That just may be a time where, you know what, we got to separate because you need to process some more. I need to process some more. I just believe kingdom-minded relationships, marriages, there should be levels of processing before you say divorce is an option. Even if there's physical abuse, yes, separate. I would never tell any woman to stay connected to a man that he's whooping on your behind or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? But there may be some deliverance. There may be some things that there's a root issue. There's a root to every reaction that we see all of us do towards things in life. And so with that being said, I'm just more like, what's the root behind it? If we have two individuals that's willing to discover, why am I behaving like this towards you? Because we understand we don't wrestle in flesh and blood, but there's something deep. When it's a kingdom marriage is what I'm saying, divorce shouldn't be an option if both parties is willing to do the work. I know people right now where the husband has touched the daughter and they separated. They went to counseling. He went to counseling. It took 3.5 years before they got back together. But now they're back together and the marriage is beautiful because you know what? There had to be a separation, not necessarily divorce. But, they, you know, he needed to go get some help and vice versa. I know some women that's been in an abusive relationship with their husband. Guess what? Separation was the option. They're not going to stay and let you beat me. And as both individuals did the work, she waited. She prayed for him. He went to counseling and did whatever he needed to do. and the right timing of God, you bring them back together. I just think that we as believers, not all believers, I just believe some of us as believers, we're so ready to say, I ain't got to deal with this. Well, if it's a kingdom hookup, you saw some signs more than likely before you said, I do. And you got to understand, you know, John's situation is a little different because y'all was young. Y'all was high school boyfriend and girlfriend. Y'all was still young growing together.
So I don't think that got anything to do with it.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying?
I still carry the same core values that I did back then that I do now.
What about her?
I can only speak for me. I still carry the same core values because, you know, they'll accuse me of all kind of stuff nowadays. I still carry the same core values. I've always been very pro-marriage, very pro. Listen to, I married my first girlfriend. I was not big on this dating stuff. I was about, you know, we dated for some time. I was ready to jump right into it. That's why I tell people when I say I'm preparing myself because I know me.
John, that don't mean, but just because you marry your first girlfriend, how do you know God said that was the one he had for you anyway? You was at that place where you was with the knowledge of who you was at the time and what you wanted, but you wasn't at the place where you are now to say, God, is this my wife? I mean, with the knowledge that you had back then, so how do you know that that was the woman that God had planned for you from the beginning? You just married her because I'm pro-marriage. I'm pro-relationship. I don't want to be out here with all kind of people. This
well,
is my first girlfriend.
So
I love her.
Not so much, you know. I mean, I'm not going to lie in that I did ignore all signs. I did ignore all signs. And I needed one prophet to agree with me, and one prophet came in agreement and said, that's your wife.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
I took that and I ran with it.
That's it right there.
That's all I needed. That's deceiving. Let me say this. As far as, here's the thing with when you're dealing with, the separation thing, I love it. I really love that you brought that up, Shekinah, the separation thing, because divorce should not be the first thing we run to. Let's separate. Let's try to work things out. But there really is extreme cases, and there's what you call, I don't know how to explain this, but there are individuals who abuse grace. And
oh, yes, Jesus.
I knew a young
Hallelujah.
Lady. I'm not going to say the name. I knew a young lady who said to me once that, you know, I'm just going to cheat. I'm just going to keep cheating. And your job as the husband is to love me. Ladies and gentlemen, there are diseases out here. I don't care how much you preach this agape stuff. There are diseases out here, ladies and gentlemen. And at some point, we have to not just be spiritual about it, but you've got to use some of that good sense that God has given you. Use some wisdom. Because situation that literally kills you, literally, you know, I mean, let's say you're with a man, and he starts a whole family next door. He done got with your next door neighbor, started a whole family.
Oh, yeah, that's killer.
Let's talk about abandonment. People being abandoned. You married one day, yeah. Kaniko got up, left you. You never heard from him in 7 years. You don't know what's going on. Sisters got needs. Brothers got needs. We got to talk about this. I mean, what do you do? Do you divorce in case of abandonment?
I mean, you got no choice if he abandoned you. It's like he left you. I mean, that's scripture. I mean, he done left you. What you going to do, sit there and wait? I mean, dude is gone or female
well,
is out.
If
you know,
you
what
know
I'm saying? So,
if you know he in North Carolina somewhere just chilling with the new boo.
He don't want the marriage. He's already made his choice. What?
But
at
you
that
said
point,
he going to be
not,
back.
Oh, please. Nah, you ain't going to be. That's crazy. You ain't going to tell me I'll be back in 2 years when I'm done having my affair with this other. No, that's just stupid, you know. At that point, the separation has already happened. The separation have already happened. But I want to kind of go back, Tanisha, to what John said about, because I think a lot of our kingdom hookups are driven by prophecy sometimes. And we make a mistake and we marry somebody because we just needed one prophet to prophesy. That's your husband. That's your wife, you know. And when we hear that, we're like, oh, God, that's what I needed. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, Now you move forward, and you're like, wait a minute. Like, years later, you're like, wait a minute. Whoa, go, you know. And I think, I know for me, when I was engaged to my ex-husband, I had a prophet straight up pull me out of the pull me out from the pews, brought me to the front, and said, "Woman of God, you're getting ready to make a personal decision in regards to a relationship, and the Lord is saying, don't do it." Now, at that time, I was engaged and I was getting ready to be married. God said, He said, "Don't do it," you know. But then I had some other people that I looked up to that was my spiritual leader saying, "Yes, yes, yes. God is with you. God," the prophet told me don't, but the people that I looked up to that had my influence, my spiritual leaders, was like, "Yes, I believe this God." So who do you go with? You got three people that's your spiritual influence telling you yes, but then a prophet who don't know you from nowhere tell you no. You know what I'm saying? And I think we make so many mistakes when we rely on prophecy. Forget prophecy, people of God. Let me help you figure this out. You will know them by the fruit they bear. Look at the fruit. The fruit do not lie. That's when you get your confirmation from. And I'm done.
Well,
I'm done.
Let me say this. Mine was almost total opposite. The prophet had it wrong. My parents had it correct. My parents from day one said no. I got slapped by my mom. My mom said, "I don't care if you could marry whoever else you want to. You could go pick up a prostitute off the street. But this, I'm telling you, no. And I'm not going to have this." She's like, "I don't get in your business, but you're not going to do this." And I was like, "What's wrong with y'all? She's a sweetheart. She's just an angel, you know." And my dad, who doesn't talk, you know, grew up in the house. My dad was not the best communicator. You know, he just didn't talk all the time. My dad set me down and said, "Don't do this, you know. Do not do this. I'm begging you. We can see," he said, "we can see much further than you can. And I know it doesn't make sense to you now." And it's funny, years later, from 12 years later, I'm looking back and I'm like, how did y'all see this? I'm saying to myself, how did I not see this? How come y'all saw all this that I had to actually experience and go through and I couldn't see any of it? But sometimes godly wisdom is very necessary. Very, very necessary. And so it's not just, because you can flow off with, I don't want to call it love, but you can be blind to a lot because of beauty, because of, and it's, let me go to it, because the issue is not so much that divorce becomes an option. The real issue is we date and marry wrong. That's where it stems from. We marry wrong. Because we marry wrong, and later we're leading to divorce. We were not looking for compatibility. We don't know if this person is a good fit for us. They look good. They know God. They're in church. They got money. Let's go with it. What's the worst that can happen? Recently, I begged the young lady not to go through with a divorce. I begged her. I begged her, but she said, "I just can't do it anymore. You know, the brother has me working. Two jobs, and he's sitting on his behind." You know, and personally,
And why did you beg her not to go through with it? I'm just curious.
Because I believe when marriage is very sacred, and when you sign up for it, I don't think our generation fully understands. I think they think marriage is a beautiful picture, a beautiful wedding. That's you know, and there's a huge difference between the wedding and the marriage. The wedding is the thing we do for that day. It's one day. It lasts one day. We put all this preparation into one day. We do not prepare for what's supposed to last for a lifetime, which is the marriage. And I don't think our generation doesn't get stuff. I'm speaking my generation. You know, oftentimes they think you now have to be accountable with someone. There are things you don't do on your own. You just can't show up every day at the house at 4 a.m. in the morning, unless you worked overnight or something. You just can't go out with another man or another woman whenever you feel like it. You know, it's a different set of rules. And sometimes we're single for so long and used to doing our own thing, we don't understand what marriage requires of us. And it does require us submitting to another human being, both male and female, both of us. We have to submit one to another. There's a lot
there's a lot that goes into marriage, a whole lot, ladies and gentlemen. And I still believe it's very sacred. And when you sign up for it, you sign up to grind this thing out, to work through, to push through. It's not going to be easy all of the time. There are going to be difficult moments. Like I said, I'm the most transparent, upfront dude on the planet. I tell women all the time, I'm so honest. I say, y'all fall in love with my quotes all you want to. I make quotes about it. Fall in love with my quotes all you want to. If I were ever to marry you, there are going to be days you're going to be completely upset, disgusted, annoyed, because I'm annoying like that. That's who I am. I'm going to tell you straight up, you're not going to be all lovey-dovey. Don't fall in love with this image of who you think I am.
That's right.
You create this
yep.
fantasy.
Ooh.
Don't just fall in love with the idea of me. The reality of me is something
mm-hmm.
completely different. And that's what the issue is with
that's
our generation.
It.
I think
mm-hmm.
we fall in love with this. Oh, my gosh, he's 6 foot this, and he makes such and such. But living in a house with the individual is something completely
Ooh.
Different. And I think because we marry wrong, that's where we have these issues. But in extreme cases, let me say this, I've never had to tell anybody to divorce. I don't like to tell anybody to stay, and I don't like to tell anybody to leave. I still stand behind, personally, my interpretation of Scripture. I believe Jesus gave a way out with infidelity. And infidelity is such a profound, to me, offense. It is so deep, infidelity. It's extremely deep. And I think we play with trust, but trust, to me, is one of the greatest currency on earth. To me, you can lose it in a second, but it can take a lifetime for you to regain trust. And we all know without trust there's no relationship.
Amen.
There's no marriage. And so if you're going to be abusing folks, if you're going to be out here for everybody, just stay single. Do the whole world a favor and just stay single. Not
Amen.
Passing judgment on anybody, but if you want to be out here for everybody, you can still do that. Just don't get married.
Just ask God to give
alone.
You that Paul gift. That's all.
They
that's
don't,
all. Just,
they
Lord,
don't
give
want,
me the
they
gift.
Want,
give me the gift that you gave Paul.
They don't want that. They want to be for everybody. And I'm not knocking your hustle. Be for everybody. Just leave the rest of us who believe in faithfulness and the sanctity of things alone. That's all I'm asking.
Amen.
That's what I'm protesting for.
I'm protesting that with you, John. You ain't by yourself.
You know, one of the things that you had said, I think both of you had said, is finances, though. You know, and the question was, you know, is divorce an option? What happens when you're with someone and they deplenish all of your funds, all of your accounts, do things that are out of order, go buy a car, don't let you go, got another hold account where you're owing money, don't sign your name on, you know, something. Do we consider that to be an option?
No, we don't consider that to be an option. We let counseling is the option. Somebody needs financial counseling. And both parties need financial counseling. The one that let her do it or
mm-hmm.
let him do it and the one that did it. Because ain't no way I can deplete my funds. And I'm just keep letting you, I'm foolish of me too. Both of us need to go sit on somebody's couch. But that should, divorce shouldn't be an option.
I don't think you divorce for that. I think as a man in particular, this is my personal opinion, as a man, a woman is, most women that I know have poor spending habits. No shade on any one woman, but a lot of women today have poor spending habits. And so I think that comes with the territory. They're going to spend money, but if you see, again, this goes right back to dating wrong. You have to be able to pick this up. That's why I tell people, you know, dating is not for mating. It's for collecting data. You have to sit with people and get all the information you can possibly get. Now, if you're in a situation and they're depleting your funds, I don't know. I'm going to have to be with Shekinah on this, Tanisha. I'm not sure if divorce is something that I can co-sign because they're depleting your funds. You signed up for this. You got to understand what you signed. When you sign up for marriage, the kind of things you're signing up for. I don't know if depleting your funds is the extreme. I know I'm turning a lot of people off from marriage tonight because they're like, I don't know. We thought it was going to be like just making love all day. I know. There are some tough times. You can't end up with a joker that's just spending up all your money. All you work hard for this, and I don't know. I can't say, Tanisha, that this would be a case for divorce, personally. I still stand behind the extreme cases, infidelity,
right.
abuse, and for me, abandonment. Or is he on Channel 7 News that he done murdered somebody, then they just we can't be. You don't want to
yeah.
harbor a fugitive or a murderer.
So we have a caller. I think it's Pastor Gerald here. I'm going to go ahead and put him on the line. Hey, Pastor Gerald, is you from Houston, Texas? Hi, hello, caller. Are you here? Is he walking? I'll put the phone down. Okay, maybe he forgot. I'll go back to text him and tell him he was on the air. I'll go back to him. Okay, callers, you guys are listening. We said a mouthful, actually an awesome conversation. If you'd like to add to the conversation, press 1, and we'll go ahead and chime you in. And the additional part to it is how to actually, you know, come out, how to leave out of a toxic relationship. All right, I have someone else. One moment. Hi, caller. You're live. Phone number ending in 1578. Hi, hello. Where are you calling from?
Miami, Florida. This is Katsia.
Okay. Okay, awesome, awesome. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, Katsia. Hi. I wanted to add, you all were talking about fun. I was married
mm-hmm.
with a man that he never worked throughout the entire marriage. And I had to let that go. I had no choice. And I tried counseling. We went to counseling. We went everywhere. I tried and tried. We went to Weekend to Remember. He just wouldn't work. I would call friends who have businesses, give him a job. He wouldn't show up, but he'll go partying all night. And finally, we wind up being separated by force after I sold my house because I was going to lose the house. So I think sometimes the Bible says a man who does not work is worse than an infidel, and a man should take care of his home, his family. So sometimes... And the counseling I went to was with the Dobson counseling, and they're pro-marriage. When they met him, they said, I think you have to give this up.
You let the brother go.
It kind of just happened because I sold my home. He had nowhere to stay. I had family, and it just happened. And I waited 2 years to see if he would get back on his feet. I was sitting there waiting for him to see if he would get back on his feet. And he just never did. He was just running the streets. Then he started seeing other women, and I moved on.
So, John, I know you were saying that it has to be an extreme. To me, that's an extreme because she did what she had to do. You know, you feel like... You know, you want to help each other, you know what I'm saying, especially in a marriage where that's how it should be. You want both of, you know, you guys to strive and to do good and to be good. But when, you know, as she was saying, well, you know, when a brother just feel like he don't want to support, even if you got a good job, okay, you know what I'm saying, because I know the person I'm talking to, you have a excellent job. You have, you know, things that are going on. That's not an excuse for you to say, well, she got it. I just sit back and relax.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes you may have it. Sometimes you may have it for your child and you, but a third party comes with other responsibility and other things. And it became, you know, it was draining. So,
well,
yeah.
I'll be honest with you, and I pray this individual, I get tons of DMs and inboxes daily. And I pray this individual is not listening, but I don't ever share names anyway. I just share stories. But this one particular young lady, beautiful wedding, beautiful young lady, by the way, you know, monitored them on social media for some time, and she got married to a gentleman. And 6 months into the wedding, a young man quit his job, tells her he doesn't believe in working. He has never had to work. So I think they dated 6 months. So he held a job for a total of a year. 6 months when he got with her, he got with her up into that point. She's been kind of holding the house down, and she feels like she was tricked, and, you know, the family knew of this condition. No one told her about it, and she said, "I want out." Is there a scripture? You know, I don't even know. I don't know why they call me access scripture. I don't have any scriptures. If anybody's inquiring, I don't have any scriptures that let you out. All right, I do believe this. This is my personal opinion when it comes to divorce and spirituality. If we have to link it. I do think oftentimes, and this was the situation in my case, oftentimes people say, "John, why did you stay so long?" When it was time for me to divorce, I felt, people can judge me, this was a spiritual sensing, I felt as though there was a release, and I mean God providing the release. And I knew divorce is not something I probably would have ever done, ever in a million years. But I felt that relief. And so different things for different individuals. I still do, however, believe in fighting for the marriage, man. I love hearing testimonies of, and this is a personal preference, I just love hearing people, we've struggled with this, we struggled with that, but we fought through, we made this happen. There are older couples, that's why I suggest people to have mentoring couples. Older couples that you look up to, that, you know, I'll sit and listen. I listen for older couples all day, you know, all day. They'll tell you certain things they had to go through. Some of this stuff is not new. The generation before us had to deal with some of this stuff as well. But if the brother is intentionally not working, he needs counseling.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much. Continue to listen, okay? You hear me? So I have another call. I think this is Gerald.
Gerald.
Hey, Gerald, call number ending in 5871. Is that you? Yeah, Churchill. Hi, hello, caller. Phone number ending in 5871.
Gerald?
Okay. He hung up and called back and pressed 1. I don't know what happened. Caller, phone number ending in 5871. Are you there? I'm going to go back to him. So, you know, the information that she was giving is I think that deems, because sometimes, you know, to me that's being a toxic relationship, because that can emotionally drain you.
Drain you.
You know, one
yeah.
of the worst things to be, you know, is physically, but emotionally. You know, because emotionally leads to a lot of psychological issues, and, you know, you find yourself being depressed, and you find yourself, you know, feeling not worthy, or all different type of feelings, and those type of issues will make you feel that way. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, I have to agree with that. That's something toxic. To me, that would be a breaker for me personally. That would have to be a breaker. Not saying that this person has to do this and do all that, and, you know, because, you know, we live in South Florida, you kind of help each other, you know, meet a provider and things of that nature. But that would be something where if you're not concerned about our household and your family, you know, then you're really not concerned about me and the kids who are in the house. You know what I mean? So to me, that's a type of toxic relationship that I just can't, I just won't deal with. Not can't, but just won't deal with, absolutely not. And of course, the infidelity part about the relationship. But, and also, there's another one that's toxic to me, when the person, it was something that I had read earlier, when they always referring to their past, or always bringing their past issues into the relationship. That may be a thing for counseling, maybe not so divorce if it hasn't been resolved. But when you're in a relationship or starting a relationship, you think that it'll get better, and you get into this marriage, and the past has followed you there, you know, meaning that this person may need some type of deliverance, or maybe they need, you know, you ever notice that some people need closure? And some people just don't. They just, you know, kind of just move on. But sometimes or some situations that we just need closure, and that person just never got the closure, and they seem to carry it from relationship or the person to person. You was about to say something, Shakina?
Yeah, about that closure thing. I feel like, you know, I feel like that closure is still like an enabler for you. It's like you got to talk to them and ask them why they did what they did to you. No, why you let them do what they did. People only do what you allow. You know, I really believe in closure. Anybody that's ever dated me knows Shakina can move on like that. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why I can be hurt, you know, you can hurt me. I may have done my part by hurting you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to always go to you and own up to what I've done. In every relationship, I've always had an opportunity to say, look, I was wrong. I apologize. I hope you can forgive me so that you don't allow me to have that much power over you, because I ain't trying to have that type of control over you that every time you see me, you hate me. That's just too much power you give to somebody, and I would never let nobody have that power. I'm a very forgiving woman. You can hurt me today and tomorrow.
That's right.
Because I'm not trying to carry that stuff. And if I die tomorrow, I'm down with unforgiveness in my heart. I ain't got time. You ain't that important to me for me to be down with unforgiveness. But I just feel like sometimes you don't need closure. You just need time. You know, I feel like this. The way you move from any relationship, whether it was toxic or you two just said, you know what, we're not on the same page, it's not going to work. The way you move, a male, this gentleman told me this before a long time ago, and I applied this principle. He said, when a relationship is over, you not only give yourself time, but you give that individual time. Because he said, that individual may not be ready to be over it. So you don't move on, men, men, to the next relationship, because she still may want to call you. She may still think that she can convince you that you still love her. I mean, you should be able to give as much time as you had invested, and I'm not saying as much time to be exact, but you invested time to date that individual, fall in love with them, and so now it's over. You want to just cut me off? Absolutely, it's done. But if you really love that person, then the grace factor kicks in. And although I'm not with you anymore, and it didn't work out, I'm not gonna run to the next person because I need time to heal, for one, and that individual needs time. And it hurts. Everybody knows it hurts when you see the one that you love already out at the movies with somebody else. It's like, what happened to time heals things? You know, it don't heal. I mean, time helps. It helps. And I just believe in giving people, any relationship I've ever ended, I've always given myself time to heal, to process what I've done wrong, whether I have a conversation with him or not, and you did me wrong, and why you had it, I don't need to know all that, because you only did what I allowed you to do because of my lack of knowledge of who I am, you know, who I was at the time. So I don't need all of that. I need the time to just sit here and process what I did so I don't do it again. But also, if I know you was in love with me, give you that time to process too. Be there for you when you call me. I'm going to stay firm and say, you know, we're not together. But if you just want to vent and scream at me, you hurt me, I'm going to give you that door because I was already checked out and you wasn't. You was more in love than I was. So I give people that grace. And I give
that's
people
good.
That time.
That's good.
I don't know if
but
I
that's just me.
That.
Everybody, I'm very rare. I'm very rare.
I don't have
I'm,
that.
Let me say,
no, I'm serious.
I'm
that's
rare.
Good. Because sometimes some people do, you know, you like you said, you've already checked out and they're still there at the door, you know, and like trying to figure out what went wrong or why I did this or why did this happen and all of that. And that person has checked out, moved on, gone with their life, not even thinking about you, you know.
Let me try to get back to Gerald.
Hey, caller, with your phone number ending in 5871, are you there?
This is the Pastor Gerald. How y'all?
Hey.
Well, hello. You must have was in church or something because I kept coming to you and I didn't hear anything.
My phone, my other phone was acting up, so I had to switch phones real quick. But I have just
all right.
So
well, you
much
was listening
to
what we were saying.
Yes, I know you did.
Now. Probably from the beginning.
I have so much to say. I have so much to say. First of all, there is not one time that I've disagreed with John throughout this whole conversation. Everything that he said I completely agree with. I wanted to address a couple things. First, y'all mentioned something about prophets. Shakina was talking about how, you know, sometimes we can get a prophet to come in. All we need is that one prophet. And what Shakina said was absolutely correct. Look at the fruit that people show. Maya Angelou said it best. If somebody tells you who they are or shows you who they are,
believe them.
That's right.
And my granddaddy told me this a long time ago. He said, son, the way you start is the way you're going to finish. Some people just don't have those core values that you were speaking of, John. Some people just don't. Everybody wasn't raised up the way we were brought up in church and to believe, you know, that divorce is not an option. Some people, especially in this generation, the moral fiber has just been disintegrated in this generation.
Right.
And so you can't turn no to a husband. And you can't turn no hoe into a housewife.
Go ahead, preacher.
I'm being for real.
We're not disagreeing.
That's the first one that I wanted to address. The second one that I wanted to address was there was a caller that was saying how she just sold her house. And because it was her house, she sold it, and she waited around for him, I guess he was her husband or whatever, to get back on his feet. Y'all forgive me for doing this, but shame on you. Shame on you. Anybody that would abandon, I don't care. When you stand before God and you say, for better or for worse, the worst, at that point, whatever he was doing, that could have been his worst. But you abandoned that man.
Are you kidding me?
You abandoned that man.
I thought you were going the other direction. I did. He's crying. That's my friend. Oh no, that is my friend. Not you calling like that.
I
shame on him. I don't care.
No, listen.
You better
get
him, John.
Listen, John, you better say something right now.
Y'all let the pastor talk, please. I got to listen.
Thank you.
Go ahead, pastor.
I want y'all to hear me on this. She said something that was just baffling. When she said, I sold my house and I just left him.
She had the house before she married him.
Okay.
There is no her anymore.
Thank you, John.
Go ahead.
Really, John? John, don't do that.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. So if that's the case, Shakina, let me ask you a question. If that's the case, did you take anything, and you don't have to answer this question out loud, but did you take anything from your marriage before y'all got together?
No.
There's a lot of people that do that. They take money. I had money before I got with my wife. I had a lot of money.
Me too.
I had a whole lot of money before I got with my wife.
Tanisha, they so
when
wrong.
When I divorced my wife, she took half of everything.
Tanisha, you hear that?
Half
they know they wrong, right?
Here's my point. I'm not dismissing what he did by any means. I'm not dismissing what he did. But when she said, I sold my house and just left him there,
No, she said she couldn't afford it anymore. She couldn't afford to pay the mortgage on her own anymore, so she had no choice but to sell it because he's not working to help her.
Okay,
that's
so,
why she sold it.
So he wasn't working. Was he working? 9 times out of 10, if a man ain't working, he wasn't working when you got with it. And then if he was working when you got with him, and you stopped and he stopped working, you allowed him. What you just say, Shakina? He's only going to do what you allowed him to do.
That's true.
So all of a sudden, now you get tired of paying the mortgage by yourself, and you abandon this man. Not only did you abandon him, but he abandoned you. Y'all abandoned each other. That's wrong.
I can live with that. I'm okay with that.
That's wrong. That brings me to my next point. And I'm through. I'm through after this, Shakina. I like what you said about leaving the door open for closure, because a lot of times people think that they have moved on or that they have healed, because there's a saying that says time heals all wounds. But I'm a believer that if you I'll speak from personal experience. After me and my wife divorced, I just cut the cord. She cut the cord. And there was a lot of things that I wanted to say and that she wanted to say that we didn't say to each other. And we just went a very long period of time without talking to each other. And then when I seen her,
that's a good point,
at the movies with another dude, well, when I seen her at the movies with my armor bearer, my ex armor bearer, I went slap off. Pastor and everything. I was cussing. I was crying. She was everything in the book but a child of God. He was everything in the book but a child of God. And at that moment, I said, I released things that I should have released when we first separated. And if
right.
I had done that, when I seen them together, it would not have affected me the way it did.
You're talking good, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am. I know. Y'all don't agree with everything I'm saying, but it's amen.
We got
doubt.
You right now. Amen.
but I think we have to allow that opportunity for whoever we're in a relationship with. If we're not going to continue on, we should allow that opportunity for them to say how they feel or scream or yell or whatever, or say, you know, I really tried, or I, you know, apologize, whatever they have to say. Bring closure to it. But there's something else that my sister Tanisha said, and it was one of y'all, Tanisha or Shanique, I don't know which one of y'all it was, but one of y'all said this. If you are in a kingdom relationship,
that's me. You better say my language, boy.
Look, if you are in a kingdom relationship, see you stirred me up when you said that. I'm gonna have to preach on that one. I'm gonna do a series. Sermon series on that kingdom relationships. When you are in a kingdom relationship,
you should invite us. Mm-hmm.
You have.
I know that's
come
right.
Come on now. Y'all all up in my 2017 plans. Come on now. but when you are in a kingdom relationship, we have to remember that God not going to put you with nobody that's ignorant and crazy.
That's true.
We got all these folks going around saying, God said this. God is sitting back saying, I ain't said nothing.
Yep.
I haven't said that. I didn't say that. And then we want to be the first one. The man that find a wife, find a good thing. The reason why you haven't obtained favor is because she's not a wife. She's just a thing.
Ooh.
That's a good thing.
All right, come on.
All right. We thank y'all for joining us tonight. We can go home.
We talk about kingdom relationships. Now, you can't just eat half of the roll. You got to eat the whole roll now, Shakina. kingdom.
I'm feeling
that. A kingdom thing. When it's a kingdom thing, when it's a God thing, when it's a kingdom relationship, we have examples in the Bible. One of the most commonly examples that we use is Boaz and Ruth.
Yes, Lord.
When it's that type of thing, he's not going to have a problem keeping a job. When it's that type of thing, she's not going to have a problem submitting. She's not going to have a problem loving on him the way he's supposed to be loved. He's not going to have a problem saying, hey, I was wrong. Forgive me. When it's a kingdom thing,
what we feel to do.
I know, right? I'm feeling a ghost over here. Jeez, I don't know which ghost, y'all. I don't know which ghost.
What we fail to do. Y'all, what we fail to do, especially in this generation, is we fail to ask God, is this you?
We ask God, but we don't know how to hear God when he responds.
There you go.
Well, that's for being in the right relationship with him. Then you'll hear him clearly. But yeah,
come on. If you're in right standing with him, you'll hear him clearly. But sometimes, what do you do when the answer that you want is not the answer you receive?
Ooh, you follow the Lord.
What do you do when Shekinah, when he's 6'1", 6-pack, a millionaire?
Don't do me like that. Come on now. Don't put me on trial right now.
He's a man of God. He's a prophet, and he travels.
Ooh,
he does this shit. He works for God, and God tells you that's not the one that I want you.
Don't do that to me right now, Tanisha. Did you hear him? Don't do that.
I just said, "Ooh, Jesus, yeah, yeah, yeah."
Don't do that.
What if God says no to you? I'm through, y'all.
But you know what? And you know, all due respect, Pastor Gerald, that's correct. And you know, even when getting into, you know, we say that if divorce is an option, we have to start off as a kingdom relationship, you know. But a lot of times, many of us may not. We may not get saved, or you get saved with your spouse. You know, sometimes that may happen. But then you start to develop a kingdom relationship also. Because one of the things that I don't want to say I don't like is I hate to see an unbalanced relationship where one person is so into God and into service and saved, and the other person, you know, don't step one foot in church. But that's a whole other subject I guess we can use. But I thank you so much, Pastor Gerald.
Yeah, that was good.
Information and speaking to us. Because, you know, we're winding down on time. Who is that? Okay. So, yeah. So that was some good information from Pastor Joe. He's out of Houston, Texas. One of our most dedicated callers that call in. I see a couple other people who are dedicated as well. If you guys have something to say, if you want to add to the conversation that we're talking about, we have said a lot. You can press 1. We'll go ahead and chime you in. Don't be scared. You don't have to say your name or anything like that. But, you know, you just want to talk general talk. We're here to listen. But the conversation that we've had so far, it has been a cup full. Won't you guys say? It has really been a cup full because these are the things that we should actually talk about because they do happen. You know, they happen in the body of Christ where people feel like divorce is an option. And one of the most things is because having a toxic relationship. I know that one of our callers gave an example of her husband not working, but that happens. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can easily say, okay, I'll stay. But when you feel like you're not being cared for, taking care of you know, this person, being the king, the prophet, the priest in your house, and you're not going to let your kids or any, you know, go neglect or anything like that. You know, you feel like that's the opportunity. You know what? That's a saying that I can do bad by myself. I don't like really saying that saying, but there is occasions where, you know, why would I do bad? You know, because if I get on the street, I'm still have to take care of you too on the street too. No, that ain't going to happen. John, you've been enjoying this. So So I have
I'm loving
this. get to this caller here. Hi, caller. What's your phone number ending in 9476? Are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Tasha.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay. You want to add something to the conversation? Go ahead.
No, I actually have a question. So I felt that I was in a kingdom marriage, but then the tables kind of turned. I mean, like he went the other way. I mean, this was a guy who was serving in the church, working in the church, you know, doing everything in the church. And now it's like, okay, I want a divorce. But you can't tell me why you want a divorce, but you can go to your friends, and I'm hearing from your friends the reason you want a divorce, but you can't communicate that with me. How do you deal with that?
John?
Clearly, this individual is not man enough to face you and doesn't have the maturity to sit and have a talk with you. If he is clearly he knows he's not doing something right. When I say doing something right, I mean the divorce in itself. He knows there is no substantial. I don't even have to know the reason. I know there's no substance to it. The reason why, and that's the purpose for him not having to actually come to you and be man enough and sit face to face and tell you exactly why is it that he wants out of the marriage. As far as here's a reality, it's a very harsh reality. This is not going to sound good at all. But I hate to say this. People do change. People do change. That's a fact of life. You can meet the sweetest individual today and tomorrow they snap and be somebody completely different. This is why most believers, when we talk about this kingdom couple and having a kingdom marriage, has to be God-ordained. Why? Because a lot of people love to quote this, what God puts together, let no man put asunder. But God, in that text to me, it appears that he's only taking responsibility for what he put together. What God put together, let no man separate. What he put together. And so if God didn't put it together, then what? And it takes us all the way back to the beginning, making sure that this is God. Just because they go to church and they're a man of God doesn't mean they're your man of God. You know, just because they're serving in ministry doesn't necessarily mean they're a good fit for you. We have to always go back and make sure that we're hearing God correctly and properly and to make sure this is the individual that is for us. I am deeply sorry that you have to, you know, hear from his homeboys or whoever that the reason for him wanting a divorce. But let me tell you this. Anyone who walks out of your life willingly and can do it like that is not attached to your destiny. And don't kill yourself over people who choose to walk out and who, if they want to go, let them go. Don't force anybody to stay with you. Force nobody to be with you. And I know that's very tough to do, but let them go. Trust me, let them go. The worst thing you want to do is hold anybody hostage or hold them or keep them somewhere they don't want to be. You don't want to convince them. Don't do any of that. Let them go. It's difficult. In addition to time healing all wounds, time plus God, with God helping you, that's what really heals the wounds. And so take time. It's a process. You don't deal with it overnight. There's a process. Get involved doing what God called you to do. Get busy. Find something that brings you joy, that brings you fulfillment, that brings you peace, that brings you laughter. Get involved doing that thing and just ride the process out. Okay?
Hey, let me encourage her. Let me encourage her too. John, you said it perfectly. You know, my question was immediately, you said you felt like this was kingdom. And like what John was saying, just because he's serving and he's a man of God and you see him in ministry don't mean that's the one that God has for you. And I think this is such a great opportunity that you brought this up, Tasha, because I think a lot of us make the wrong choice because we see him and we perceive he's a man of God because he's in church. And although he may be a man of God and in church, that doesn't always mean this is the one God is saying is for you, you know? And I just feel like we have to just down people of God. Stop being so quick to run to get married because we've been waiting. It's going to be like 6 years. I'm still a single woman. You know, I'm not saying I'm not in a relationship, but I've been a single woman, you know? And it's like, I'm not rushing to marry, you know, I'm in a relationship right now, but I'm not rushing to get married because you know what? Within time, you're going to see reality, and when you see reality, you're going to bring revelation, and revelation is going to bring the confirmation that you need to say yay or nay. And I just think that we need to kind of just slow down, stop running to the finish line before we get to the finish line in our minds, and just let's just watch the fruit. You know, I think we make so many mistakes because we rush. If it's 2 years and you're in a relationship with someone, and y'all still not engaged or married, that means you see something, he sees something, and it's not working. And it may just be like this, not it, you know, because I don't think that it takes that long to see what you need to see if you're seeing it spiritual. Everything, I tell people all the time, everything in life is spiritual first before it manifests in the natural. And if you can't look at your significant or your potential spouse spiritually first, you're going to miss what you need to see. But if you're looking at what he does for you on the natural, you're definitely going to miss what you need to see spiritually. You're going to miss what God is trying to show you in your ear gates and in your eye gates. These are gateways to you. You're going to miss it because you're looking at, oh, in the natural, I see him serving. I've seen him pray. Every prayer ain't an effectual fervent prayer.
Go ahead now.
You know what I'm saying? Every servant is not a servant leader. Some people do it for show
right,
to make you think or believe that they. So I just want to encourage the young lady, be it's okay. Like John said, if he walked away, if he's really your husband, he'll be back. You know, but if he walked away, to God be the glory, because you don't know what God is saving you from, you know. But take this experience, please, hear what I'm saying. Take this experience, and don't examine what he did. Examine what you did so that you don't make the same decision or take the same actions you took when the next king come before you. Look at everything that you did and say, you know what, I got to be more mindful in this area, that area. I got to ask God, Lord, give me your lenses so I can see in your view this man. I mean, the man I'm dating right now, I'm like, Lord, show me him inside out. I can care less about the outside because of your inside, which is Christ on the inside of you.
Inside
don't produce what I need to see on the outside. Then you got to keep it moving, you know, so. And as God began to show me him from the inside and out, now I have the choice to say, I can deal with this. I choose to deal with this. Oh, no, I'm not going to deal with that, you know. So I want everyone that's listening to me, we have to start looking at relationships, definitely kingdom. When you're doing a kingdom, when you're choosing to have a kingdom relationship, let me tell y'all something. It's bigger than you and that person. Let me tell you something. It's about the kingdom at that point. And although two are coming together, it's so much bigger than you all. And if you are a power couple, meaning you got a strong prayer warrior, intercessor, a preacher, a prophet, a minister, oh, all hell is about to break loose in your relationship. So you need to make sure that he got your back and you got his back and y'all standing back to back so nothing can come against you. But we have to start looking at relationships kingdom-minded and not just in the natural because he got a couple of dollars and he got a couple of houses and cars. Forget all of that because, honey, if he cheat on you tomorrow, that's all his stuff and not yours. And you back to square one. So I just want to encourage you. Be encouraged, woman of God. Be encouraged because, like John said, if he left you, let him go. But now examine yourself. Examine the choices that you made. Ask God why. When I got engaged, it's the last thing I'm gonna say. When I got engaged, the last time I was engaged, my mentor said to me, because I wind up calling it off. She said, okay, you called it off. But I need to ask you one question. She said, why did you say yes? You need to understand why you said yes to the engagement and now you called it out. Standing, what was behind the yes? And I said, okay, guys, show me why did I say yes? And I
ain't gonna tell y'all my mom. Look, I can't tell y'all the truth why I said yes.
But you know, but when she said that, it made me say, wow. I said yes. I knew spiritually, let me be a little transparent. I knew spiritually he wasn't where I desired my husband to be. I want my husband to be, you know, if not equal, but greater than me spiritually, because he's the head. You got to lead me and my boy. So I need you to be on fire for God and have that word of God all up and through in you, you know. So I knew he wasn't that, but he had everything else. He had the money, the houses, the cars. He loved me. There's nothing I wanted. Tangible, nothing. I mean, served me like a queen. But I knew spiritually he couldn't flow with me. And so when God began to show me that, I had to tell him no. But I said yes because you know why? I had lack of things that I needed in my physical. And everywhere there was a lack in my physical, he made up for. And I'm like, well, I got the physical part. He got the lack. So you know what? We good. No. That ain't how God orchestrated it. And so I had to wind up telling him no, although I said yes for all the wrong reasons. So understanding why you made the choice to marry him, that's the important part. Don't worry about what he did. Why you married him, ask God to reveal it to you so that you don't make the same mistake and you don't have to repeat this cycle again.
All right. So I have Pastor Jared called me. He wanted to encourage here. No, he wanted to encourage you. You're still on the line, right? So I'm going to go ahead and chime in. Pastor Jared, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, awesome, awesome. The young lady, she's still on the line now. I know you wanted to add something before we got off. Go ahead.
Young lady, I just wanted to really encourage you and just kind of piggyback on what John and Shekinah said. Be encouraged. But this is for you and for anybody else, any other young lady that is listening, that is single, waiting on that special man to you know, come and sweep them off their feet. We have to learn as a people, as a body, we have to learn how to teach our young men and young women how to become ready for marriage and how to hear God and how to acknowledge when God says yes or when God says no. I promise you, I've been through it enough. I've seen it enough times. If God says yes, all Shekinah said a while ago, especially if you are a power couple, this is you. He's in ministry. You're in ministry. If God says yes, you can guarantee all hell is gonna break loose. All hell is gonna break loose. But if God says no, oftentimes things like what you're saying, I think I'm getting that you say he just walked away. Things like that will happen, and God will allow things like that to happen to save you from heartache and to save you from pain and to save you from lessons that you don't need to experience to learn from, but you could just say, oh, I dodged these bullets and I learned this lesson because I dodged these bullets. So I want to encourage you, woman of God, use your singleness, men of God too, use your singleness to get closer to God. Use your singleness to hear his voice, to get acquainted with his voice, to get to the point like Shekinah was saying, where you, if you're in a ever in a relationship or dating someone and you ask God, Lord, show me this person inside. Show me their true motive. Show me what the makeup of them, that you can see it, and you can receive what God is saying and not receive it through rose-colored glasses. you can receive the truth. So I just want to encourage you, woman. I feel this just so much encouragement just going toward you right now. Be encouraged because God's got great things in store for you. In store for you.
Yes, sir. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jura. Yeah, that did deserve an amen after that. And young lady, be encouraged. You know, it's not you. You know, don't. That was my other thing. You know your worth. Consider your worth. No, don't believe that is you. You know, if a person just walks away and tells somebody else, I just consider that to just be a coward. Know that you're better and greater than that. But this has been an awesome, awesome show on tonight, and you know it gets better and better. I'm grateful for the people that do call in, for our listeners, those, you know, if you didn't, you know, press one this time, you may have felt like, you know, you can always join in on next Monday in the conversation. Our purpose is that we help each other when it comes to relationships. It doesn't necessarily have to be a man and woman relationship, but friendships, you know, parenting relationships and so forth. And if you guys have any show ideas or topics, you can always email me at relationship204@gmail.com. If you know someone or wants to be a guest, relationship204@gmail.com. And also, if you have any questions or scenarios that you would like to present to us, we do discuss those. That's how I got these at relationship204@gmail.com. This has been myself, Tanisha Simpkins, and Shakina Bruton, and John Mapleasure. You can find us on Facebook. If you've seen the link, you'll see our name. You can find us on Facebook also. Our other co-host, Lewis Johnson, he wasn't able to make it tonight. Lewis is like, hey, man, he got school, he got work, he have all kind of stuff going on. That's a good man. I'm going to hook Lewis up. Y'all like that? Listen, y'all interested? Yeah. But John will tell me when he's ready because he keeps saying, "Ain't ready." But he'll soon be ready.
I'm gonna tell John Lewis on you.
That's okay. He probably appreciated shoes. He was a good guy. We'll get him hooked up. He's in the Atlanta area. Also, guys, if you're listening, if you are local in January 2021, which is a Friday and a Saturday, there's a Christian play called I Got a Man. I Got a Man. Table Talk Relationship 204 will be help sponsoring the play, and we will have John and Shakina will be the hosting that night during the play. So, guys, I don't know if y'all already know that, but make sure you guys mark your calendar where you have the opportunity to come out and see and greet them there. And also, if you are local on Thursday night, I will be at, what is the name of that place? What is Norman's place called? Oh, my goodness.
This Thursday?
Oh, my goodness. Escape in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, there's a relationship panel that I had that I'm invited to, so I will be there for the first hour, then I have to leave and a couple other events that's going on that day. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Get us back here on next Monday at 9 p.m. sharp so you can be part of the conversation, and we want to say bye. Say bye, y'all.
Later, guys. Talk to you later.
Later. Take care, y'all.
Thinking that you stay, gave you my heart and then you ran away. Either I'm stupid, I'm foolish, and you're playing me. But it seems we were never really meant to be.
So I thought I would try something new.
I wanted to find.